It is another day for you to be happy. Hey, it's me, Rashawn Ali, and welcome to the Cool Sora Podcast. Today, we are joined by Lakeisha Key, air quotes, Hallman, Dr. Lakeisha Key Hallman. She's a Cool Sora of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Crazy thing is, just randomly, she called me to get some advice on how to promote her event. And I was like, hey, well, why don't you promote it on the Cool Sora Podcast? And here we are. I'm so very happy for you to hear her story. It's a story of really just pushing through and doing what it is that the universe, God, the higher being has called you to do. And she has truly been obedient to the call. I'm really, really happy for you to hear this episode. Talk about somebody who's true and organic. Here is The Village with Dr. Lakeisha Hallman. Enjoy.
You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a cool soror of...
What's up y'all, I'm a cool soror of...
Hi, I am a cool soror of...
Soror Podcast, hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. It is another edition of the Cool Soror Podcast. Hopefully you are doing fabulously well on this day, whenever you decide to download it. Could be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know what I'm trying to say. We're joined by Dr. Lakeisha Hallman, who's a Cool Soror of...
Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Hello and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rashawn. Thank you so much for having me.
I am very, very happy to have you on the show today. You know, things don't happen just by coincidence. And the fact that you are here, I believe, is universal telepathy. We were supposed to be together today.
I totally agree. And yes, this is how it works. But this is how it works in Rashawn's universe. I just got pulled in today.
Right,
I'm so
right.
Grateful for it.
Awesome. Well, you are the CEO of the Village Market ATL. We're going to talk about that, which is a brilliant concept. But you're from Batesville, Mississippi. Now, where is Batesville, Mississippi?
It's this very small dot on the map in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Only cool people know where it is.
Only the cool people. Well, I'm cool. Well, I guess I'm not cool enough to know.
You have to be Mississippi cool, though.
Okay.
You have to be Mississippi cool. So Batesville is in North Mississippi, and we speak in miles in the country. So we're about 20 miles from the University of Mississippi.
Okay.
And about 30 miles from Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. All right. So what's Batesville like? So because you obviously have an acute adoration for your hometown. What's it like? And what was it like growing up there for you?
Oh, goodness. Batesville is like family to me. And that's what inspired me to do a lot of the work that I do. Mm-hmm. I'm so accustomed to be cultivated and nurtured by a village of people who love me.
Right.
But when I say it is the complete opposite of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So we maybe have 3 stoplights.
Wow.
Traffic happens at noon. And we feel like we're stuck in traffic if we're stuck for 5 minutes at
a
light.
Right.
But there's not a lot to do. Uh-huh. Now, our popping thing in Batesville is our football team. You'll love this. South Panola High School football, national recognized football team.
Okay.
So we produced a lot of NFL players. But growing up in Batesville, I was an athlete. I was a doer, giver in the community. My parents also grew up not in Batesville, but close to it in Marks, Mississippi, and Crowder, Mississippi.
Okay.
Now, these are super small dots on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the socioeconomic situations in Marks, Mississippi, and Crowder, Mississippi is why my parents moved to Batesville.
That was the city. Let's move to the city.
Let's move to town.
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 Yeah.
Let's move to town.
Now, yeah.
See, Oxford would be the city now.
Okay.
But Memphis?
Yeah.
Yeah, Memphis is like Atlanta.
Yeah. Did you go there a lot growing up to Memphis?
Yes, we went there a lot. My aunt would come and visit, and I have an uncle and cousins who live in Memphis as well. So what we would do during the summer breaks, rather than just be with my grandmother, we would go to Memphis where we can get that mall experience and get some more cultural experiences, because my aunt was very, very aware that my sister and I needed opportunities that exposed us and expanded us. So when my mother and father, who are factory workers, they would be working, they just wanted us to go somewhere.
Right.
And to have some experiences so we can be expanded and be who we are today.
What were some of those experiences that still resonate with you today?
So this is when I learned that I was not coordinated. So we went ice skating at Memphis Mall. My sister was so great and affluent in it. ice skating was probably the most fun thing that we did. And we got to go to the pyramid when that opened. That was great. That was a lot of fun. And my aunt would take us to a lot of museums, and going down on Bill Street was a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
Now we were young girls, so I don't know if we should have been on Bill Street, but we were there.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
And it opened me. So when you go back to school, you have so many kids from Batesville who travel to different places. We were so grateful that we could add to the conversation of things that we got to do.
Yeah.
But that's because primarily my mother was a visionary in that way.
Yeah.
There's so many things she couldn't do for us, but she always connected us to the people that could take us there.
Yeah. And you were the first graduate in your family.
Yeah, my sister. So my sister's the first.
Okay.
I'm the second.
You're second. Okay.
Yeah, I'm second. But that's first graduate to go to college on both sides of the family. I'm the first person in my family on both sides with a higher degree.
Man. Do you wear that badge, obviously, with honor? And what does it make you feel like? What did it make you feel like? I know it was a while ago when you crossed the stage.
Well, man, so many things. I was so proud for my grandmother, especially when I got my doctorate. I just remember my grandmother just crying, you know, because she's seen so many people that she admired. Dr. Maya Angelou, when I was young, she would affirm these people over my life. So when I got my doctorate, what she said to me is, "You know that Dr. Maya Angelou lady, I knew you would be just like that."
Wow.
You know, and so even my mother, she's passed away, so she didn't get to see me reach that pillar in my life. But when I decided to enroll into the doctoral program, she asked me, "Is that the highest you can go?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's the highest I can go." And she said, "Well, it would be done."
Wow.
And so for my family, I dedicated that portion of my dissertation to them, to my grandmothers, and to my mother and to my aunts, because these are the people, though I'm the first person with that particular accolade, but the people who I admired and folks who I wanted to be just like,
right,
it was them. And my mother had a GED.
Okay.
So to me, she was still the smartest person, most hardworking person I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
So as a doctorate, I just feel like I'm just a continuation and a reflection of her work.
Yeah. Let's talk about your mother. And you said that, you know, she is no longer with us. Let's talk more about her influence and what she had over your life. You said she wanted you to go beyond being a factory worker. She dreamed big for you, so she put you in places so that you could become who you are today. How do you honor her now?
Well, first let me say my mother was crazy. And she was strict, my father too. We can't leave him out of this equation. But how I honor her now was through my work and what she instilled in my sister and I so much that is almost ingrained in my brain, is to always think first our reputation. She said, "That's what you lead with. That's your human bio."
Right.
And as a young mother, she had me at 21, my sister at 19. She continued to say this to us. And the work that I do as a community organizer, as a curator, as a speaker, is literally because she would sit at home and be my audience.
Wow.
And she would clap for me and she would read my work. And she thought I was just amazing. So I honor her literally with actually being the person that I say that I am. I didn't ever see her stretch out of who she was for anybody. And even in illness, she wore it with such honor.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, she's the reason why I turned vegan.
In the
country of Mississippi. Now, you know, tell your folks.
It's fat back in the collard greens, and hog maw, all of that.
All of that.
Yeah.
All of that. And I remember when she first bought a juicer, we were looking at infomercial. And I think it's a Jack somebody, but she got a juicer and she asked me, did I think this would help her with her illness? And I said, yeah. But what I do believe in, my mother never left me out there to do anything on my own.
Okay.
So I juice with her. And before you know it, our diet started to change. And she inspired me to be vegan because where she stopped in the race, where her body stopped in the race physically.
Right.
I just kept running that.
Yeah.
So she completely changed her diet the best she could based on her social conditions. And I just kept it going.
So if you don't mind, what illness was it?
She had lupus. She suffered with systematic lupus for about 10 years. And then towards the last season of her life, she had breast cancer.
Okay.
So she was fighting two fights at the same time. I'm very particular with how I tell her story because she was such a fighter.
Yeah.
And I just remember the level of faith that she had, even when she was fatigued. in illness, she's the person who helped me move to Atlanta.
In illness,
in swollen bones and everything. I told her, you can't drive my U-Haul. She wouldn't let me hire anybody else because she knew that she was reaching the end of mm-hmm. her race. And she wanted to see where I was and to make sure I was safe.
Yeah.
And she loved Atlanta. She loved where I chose to live. She loved my community here. And she forced me to move from Mississippi because she knew, she's like, you won't be able to do everything if you try to stay at home and take care of me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
So she gave me the baton and I'm running, Rashawn, yeah. fearlessly
yeah.
because that's who I come from.
Yeah. yeah.
So she's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that she chose me to be her kid.
Mm.
Yeah. So happy. And I'm so happy that I accepted the call to be her daughter. And I just want her to be so proud as she looks over us. But I know that she is.
Wow. Whoa. Did not mean to have tears in my eyes right now. That was absolutely beautiful. And I have two things I want to go back to. You being a vegan. I have looked into it, of course. I always say, I know I would be better if I do it. And you saw the transformation and how your mother was probably beginning to heal. But would you say because of all of the food growing up that may have attributed to illness in her and maybe even other, I mean, the illness that a lot of people suffer from mm-hmm. is because of food. Would you say that?
Yes. So I think the association to many of our illnesses and the diseases that we have, I think is three parts. I think it's food. I think it's mental illness. I think mm-hmm. it's depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's being in environments and conditions that don't nurture you out of that.
Right.
So I think how did my mother become ill and things that she and I have talked about, she felt that her food choices wasn't the best.
Yeah.
And she was a petite lady. So mm-hmm. I'm tall, but she was 5'3", small right. frame lady. But at the same time, she dealt with such stress
mm-hmm.
And battled with depression. And also being in an environment such as Mississippi, even though it is extremely nurturing, you can be limited as well.
Okay.
So she has so many dreams and aspirations, things that she wanted to do. She didn't always know how to do those
right,
things.
Right, right, right.
So yeah. Yes, I do think there's a huge association with our plates and our illness.
How have you been better physically and mentally, obviously, since you've become vegan? And how long have you been vegan now?
It has been 3 years since I've been vegan. Before then, 5 to 6 years vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And then before then, pescatarian.
Right.
And I say it that way because when people aspire to do things,
yes.
if you want to do it well, you need to pace yourself.
Yes,
you
yes.
need to have a plan to set yourself up to win. So this can be a lifestyle and not a fad.
Yes.
So 3 years in for me being vegan, I feel like a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if Rashawn calls me today and say, hey, I want you to do your podcast, I'll be there and I'll be ready.
Yeah.
I think that speaks to the lifestyle and also not just the foods that I eat, but the things that I ingest in my mind
mm-hmm.
and the things that I have taken away from my life that was hindering me and hindering my light.
Mm-hmm.
So being vegan is holistic. It's
yeah.
not just the food. I have truly adopted a lifestyle for myself with my mental state of being and my spiritual space
yeah.
that I'm always being fed.
Yeah.
And I only surround myself with people who can feed me.
Tell me more about the mental and spiritual that you're continuing to be fed by being open by what you put into your body.
Yes. Being fed spiritually and being open, literally, It's the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
When you shift your life and when you open yourself up in different ways, the universe provides in such a way.
Yes.
So even the books that I read now are quite different. I've always been a reader. I've always engaged myself mentally in certain things, but now I only want to be in the space of reading things that open my conscious awareness.
Yes.
Because if we're going to do work in a community, we have to know the fight and the people that we're fighting for
mm-hmm.
and not limit our community to our own prejudices that we're not aware of.
Right.
So I read things that make me more socially conscious and live in a space of grace.
Yes.
So I can be a true servant and not stand on a platform but walk among my people and also have them walk among me and realize that we all need each other.
Yes, yes. Whew, that's beautiful. So where was the village market? How did you birth that when you received that? Because I know it was something that was downloaded.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me how that came into light.
So the Village Market, man, God gave it to me. So when God gave me the Village Market, I was actually attending an event maybe 3 years ago. And I even said to God, so why are you giving, like, it can't be now. I'm still trying to write my dissertation.
Right.
And so my mind can only do so much. So I put that, I tabled that in my mind, and I asked to just give me time to be able to nurture and cultivate that. Mm-hmm. So I started to do last year, I launched my master classes, and I would have them at Urban Grind. We would get the community together, people such as yourself, and we would talk about the issues in our community. And from the panelists, mm-hmm. we'll seek answers. But I had a master class on entrepreneurship, and the amount of entrepreneurs who were in the audience.
Yeah.
So I just did a show of hand. Who is in the room that's an entrepreneur that's awaiting an opportunity to launch their business? Over 75-80% of the room raised their hand.
Right.
I knew then that I saw the need, because I don't think we should do anything unless there is a need and it's healing our community. Mm-hmm. I saw the need, and 3 months later, there was the Village Market.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure I was honoring people of color, nonprofits who are striving their best to work with our future, meaning young people of color, mm-hmm. and folks who are inspired to do plant-based meals.
Wow.
So here we go with the Village Market. We're here.
Yeah. So what is the experience like on when the Village Market takes place? Because I've been supportive by, you know, posting and doing that. But every time the date has always fallen where I could not attend. But I'm really looking forward to the next one, which I'm sure you'll tell us about. What is it like that day?
So the Village Market is truly like walking into this big family reunion.
Uh-huh.
And when I say it's just vivacious, I leave feeling so full because it's so many hugs. It's so many people who come with one mindset. How can I support the person that's in this room? Even if it's not financially, how can I support them physically by putting them on my platform to get the word out that you're there? It's young kids also, who the kidpreneurs who participate, they see adults who say, oh my God, you're an amazing artist.
Yeah.
And your mind thought of this app.
Yeah.
How can I download it and put it on my phone? So when I think, and when you walk into the Village Market, if I could put that into a word, it would be progression.
Yes.
And it's the progression of our collective as a people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just honestly a great, happy, full time where you can leave and you feel so proud of who you are.
Yeah.
And as you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's all kind of good.
That's the vision.
That's all kind of good. So, but now you're doing something different where you're actually raising money for different entrepreneurs.
Yes, entrepreneurs.
Yes, that's great. How can people tell us about it and why you decided to do that? Because you could usually just easily have said, well, y'all come to the Village Market, y'all network, and then bye. But now you're doing something different.
Yes.
Okay.
I think we can't be short-sighted in our endeavors. I think it's short-sighted to bring entrepreneurs together and to not provide a space to financially support them. So when we raise money primarily for entrepreneurs and also nonprofits, we're very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Those entrepreneurs, those nonprofits have to be physically given back to the community.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
To show that.
Okay.
Because when you give, you receive, give, and so on and so forth. So now we put, starting with our last market and also Black Friday, we raise all the money that we can to get young people out of the country. Those are some of the things that we've done, supporting individuals in the community who's creating community centers for young people, entrepreneurs who actively give back to their community. So if we were to support a culinary artist, are you feeding the hungry?
Wow.
So yeah. Yes, we want to see you build, but we also want to see you feed.
Feed. Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't want to be short-sighted. I didn't want to be short-sighted with anything in the Village Market. So to be a participant in the Village Market, we have entrepreneur classes that are free.
Mm.
Because yes, thank you for being a vendor, but how can I say thank you if I don't provide a space for you to grow and nurture your business?
Yes.
And so I have folks who come out and give of their time and who teach entrepreneurs, who share all this wisdom just to pour into their business.
Yes.
So how can you not be great when mm-hmm. so many people are pouring into you?
Mm-hmm. How has that made you feel, knowing that God is using me as a conduit to implement change?
I'm just so humbled by it. I'm so extremely humbled and grateful that God sees so much in me to be able to do this particular work. So when I'm always proud, but I'm more so proud of us as a community, how we rally behind each other. Because if you look at the narrative on television, you would think that we're divided mm-hmm. in some areas we are. But I believe in the mindset that our cup is always overflowing in need mm-hmm. and in hope. So I'm just so grateful that God saw so much in this imperfect person to give me such a task. Mm-hmm. And I give it everything that I have because I know what it means to be chosen by God.
Yes.
And to be also appreciated by your community.
Yeah.
We can't take these opportunities for granted.
Yeah.
And so I'm very conscious and mindful every opportunity I get, even such as this, Rashawn, I thank you so much not take this for granted.
Right.
I'm so honored to even be here today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's our absolute pleasure. This is what the platform is for. So when is the next one? And I know you are raising money for an entrepreneur, two people. Yes. Okay. Correct me. Go ahead. Tell everybody about it.
So the next market is happening July 15th at Westside Cultural Arts Center. Such a nice space on 10th Street. We're raising money for The Way, and that's for Sean Walton. He's the founder of WeCycle. He's opening up a community space in the West End. Very, very great, great young man who's doing good work. And we're also raising money for Miles of Warmth. That is Aaliyah Rucker.
I know Aaliyah Rucker.
See, we know good people.
Ah, man, she came and did a project with Sporty Girls when she was like 8 years old and right. showed them how to make blankets.
She's still working. She's my mentee. So yeah. we're raising money for this great idea that she and Miles has, Miles Jackson. They want people to get together, ride their bikes in a community just to do good. Mal said this to me just yesterday. He was like, I want people to ride at night so they can wake up in the morning for a brighter day.
Ooh.
And it's called the Glow Ride. And these are young people. Rashawn, what was I doing at 12 and 13?
I wasn't doing that.
So that makes me proud to be able to raise money for them. So that whole outside family engagement portion is theirs. Mm-hmm. So the money they raise in that section, that's them. That's all.
I think I know Miles Jackson. His parents, Rendell Jackson.
Yes.
Come on.
That's
now.
That's the universe. That is the universe.
Yes.
Yes. These amazing. Those are my mentees. I work with them. I support them in what they do, and not just me. So many people do.
Yeah.
I'm just honored to be one of the people.
Yeah. Man, that's good. And so that's Young Gifted in Black. That falls under that umbrella.
Yes.
Okay.
That falls under
Tell us
Gifted
more
Black.
About Young Gifted in Black as well, because that is your. So is the Village Market a nonprofit, or the Young Gifted in Black is a nonprofit?
Yes, Gifted in Black.
Okay.
Young Gifted in Black came before the Village Market. Young Gifted in Black, again, I give free master classes monthly. I believe this, that everything we need can be found in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to get the people together to get those questions asked and answered. So the master classes is a safe space to get questions answered. We talk about plant-based foods. We talk about entrepreneurship and financial empowerment. The list can go on and on. And another thing we do, because I'm an active cyclist and I love our community of Atlanta so much, we get people out on bikes with their children, and we pass our personal hygiene products to our brothers and sisters who are in need around the city. So that is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I want to go on the next ride. I ride
Come
too.
On.
Yeah,
do you ride?
I do ride.
I see you, Rashawn, though. Yeah. So you ride and do crunches as well.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Yeah. Man, you know, it's funny how we obviously have done some things together, but I just mm-hmm. never knew the backstory. I never knew your why. I want to get into what your dissertation was, because you said I was the last part of my dissertation when you were talking about, I guess when you were referring to your family. What was your dissertation about?
I focused on, my heart and passion is, believe it or not, in education mm-hmm. and serving those, serving our young people who are in high poverty areas. I started my career as a teacher in the Mississippi Delta.
Okay.
And I went back to my father's hometown to teach. I just remember how he would speak of his community, and I, being a daddy's girl, I just wanted to do him service as well. So I went back to his hometown and I taught for 5 years, and looking at how amazing that was for me in my career as an educator, it informed everything I've done following. So my dissertation focused on cultural intelligence and improving the retention gap of teachers in the Mississippi Delta.
Love it.
I believe that if teachers are more culturally aware, they will be better equipped to serve young men and women in the high poverty areas. I think it's a lot to ask of a 21, 22-year-old to be dropped in the Mississippi Delta where there's a high level of poverty, low resources for a 21, 22-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have to drive 45 minutes to have fun. I think they have to be well-trained and well-equipped for that.
Yeah.
And so what my study is bringing rise to that and bringing attention, because I don't think teachers quit education because they quit education. I think the setup of education has to be equipped and restructured to nurture the teachers that are there.
Come on.
So they can give to their children.
Yeah. Because if you don't know how to relate to a black boy who doesn't have... you don't know how he gonna eat, and you don't understand why he's angry the next day. He hadn't eaten since lunch yesterday.
Exactly.
Everybody doesn't know that, and they're not equipped to deal with that.
Right.
That happens here in Cobb County.
It does.
Yes.
And if you're not well informed, but so there's two parts of that narrative. Sometimes when you're 22, 23 years old, then you've seen certain movies like The Blind Side.
Yes, of course.
Or Freedom Riders. And if you go all the way back, Dangerous Minds. So you come in with a superhero mindset.
Yes.
And the thing about any superhero, that takes such level of diligence and consistency to even become
a superhero.
And I think that's when we watch the movies, we forget the backstory.
Yeah.
And so teachers burn out because it's harder than they thought it would ever be.
Yeah.
But I don't know how honest we are in our education programs. We're not just teaching it in rhetoric, but putting young people in those situations, not just for teaching programs where you do it a month, where you actually spend months in these areas.
Yes.
Weekends there as well, because when a teaching program ends, and now you're a teacher.
Yeah.
Your Saturday and Sunday is in Marks, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the way into spring break.
Wow.
Right. Or all the way into Christmas break. So when teachers leave, I truly don't, Rashawn, I just have such a compassion for educators.
Yeah.
I don't believe they just chunk the deuces at education and they're over and they want to go find something else. I think what we've continued to create better spaces in all other arenas. We even given a facelift, to the Falcon Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That looks different because we know change is needed.
Right.
We won't do the same change in education
for
our educators. So if everywhere else needs a facelift,
why can't?
If there's a belt line stretched across the city of Atlanta, why can't we be that intentional about our classrooms?
Man. Wow. So are you implementing a program like that, or like what are you doing outside of it being on this thick piece of, you know, notebook that you turned in, you know?
So yesterday I just did, I'm so very fortunate, I just did the Steve Harvey's mentoring camp, and I was one of their guest speakers for that.
Great.
And I talked empowered parents on how to be parent advocates.
Yes.
Because that sensitivity for teachers, I also have that sensitivity for parents.
Mm-hmm.
So parents, I want you to be empowered with how to fight for your child and to do it where policy doesn't hinder you.
Hmm.
So we have to create a safe space for our parents to teach them in that way so they can be well informed. And I do the same thing for teachers. So I go all over and I empower teachers because I believe just like the household, everything funnels down.
Mm-hmm.
The children are a reflection of us. The students in the classroom is a reflection of the teacher. So if I empower the teacher,
yes,
then the reach is greater.
Yes.
Because now you're reaching 23 to 30 kids per class, but that's 120 students per day. And all those students are going back into their household.
It's cyclical.
It is.
Yes.
It is. That's being intentional again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I go around and I speak about education reform. I speak to parents. I speak to teachers. But I think in all our speaking, Rashawn, there must be a humility to understand that I also don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
But I can be an open vessel to be open myself to research those answers.
Woo. That's good, girls. Come on, speak on it. Speak on it today. And so you speak all across the country, really.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
What's your skin regimen, though? Is that just the vegan-based diet?
That's just the vegan. This is no makeup. I woke up like this morning.
That thing looked bright.
Yeah, this is kale.
Wow.
Right. And lemon juice.
Yeah.
And alkaline water. Yes.
Man.
And a whole bunch of prayer. And a whole bunch of good people in my life.
Yeah. energy is very important to you.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes. 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 In all things.
Yes.
In all things.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna pescatarian that thing first.
Good job. That's how I started.
I have been thinking about being. I have thought about being a pescatarian a lot.
Think about it. Yes. My best friend is in Houston, Texas, and she's trying veganism for 1 month.
Uh-huh.
And so I sent her a whole bunch of foods that she could try, then a shopping list. And every day we check in. I said, "Did you walk today?" Mm-hmm. She mostly says no. Did you eat today? And she tells me what she's eating.
Okay.
And she's doing the same thing for her daughter. And I'm proud of her. As I tell everyone, it's truly one meal at a time.
Yeah.
So I try to empower parents, as I did yesterday, to think about your breakfast different. Because if you try to think about a whole week of meals, then you become overwhelmed.
Yes.
That's going to the gym and you want to do 3 classes, mm-hmm. and you haven't been in a year.
Mm-hmm.
You probably won't go back the next day.
Right.
So we could just switch one meal one day.
I love it.
And then the next day, still switch one meal, but next week go up to 2 meals. Then you will see how to do it.
Yeah.
You won't just jump into that.
Yeah.
So I think we have to live with so much even grace with that when we're trying to get people to change their plates.
Mm-hmm.
We're changing a 35-year-old the way that they've eaten their whole lives.
Right.
So you're asking them to make this 160 change and they've lived a certain way for 35, 40 plus years.
Yeah.
None of us can do that.
Yeah.
None of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Your smile is just gorgeous. In 2003, you became a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Did Alpha Kappa Alpha choose you or did you choose Alpha Kappa Alpha?
You know, it depends on who's listening, Rashawn. It depends on who's listening.
Okay.
Well, I have to say this. I didn't know I was a sorority girl. I had no idea.
Right.
I didn't know. Again, there was nobody in my family who was in sororities and fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember, watching things on television.
Right.
I thought, yeah, that's cool. But me, I've always wanted to be this maverick. Like, I'm a nonconformist.
Right.
Anybody's box.
Right.
And then I got to Tougaloo. And I was like, so if that's a box, I want to be in that box. I never, before going to Tougaloo, I hadn't seen, and not just an Alpha Kappa Alpha, but all the panhandle itself
right.
was absolutely amazing and awe-inspiring to me.
Yeah.
When you see for the first time SGA presidents of color,
mm-hmm.
you find out what medical school and what law school that they got into, and they're Rhodes Scholars. How can you not want to be a part of that?
Right.
Especially
right.
when you want something so great for yourself and your life. And so I feel like it was two part. I was chosen and the sorority itself chose me because
right.
I think I'm a reflection
right.
of those standards.
Yes.
Before ever wearing the letters.
Yeah.
But being nurtured by a community of women who've done and are doing so much, I knew that would expand who I was,
yeah.
and I wanted to be part of such a lineage, a
yeah.
sisterhood.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Are you still like close to, how many, because you were number 55, y'all had a big line.
We did,
yeah.
we had a real big line.
Yeah.
That's why we're the Green Mile.
Yeah.
Yes. So my best friend, of course, is my line sister. Uh-huh. We're all getting together, a couple of my line sisters and I are getting together next month in North Carolina.
Awesome.
To bless a new home that my line sister just bought. So I'm
okay.
so proud of her.
Awesome.
But yes, we're very close, but we're close because we were friends
yes.
before we ever pledged.
Yes.
And I think sisterhood starts before the letters.
Absolutely, it does.
Especially if you want the relationship to continue.
Absolutely. Man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Two or three more questions. How can people donate to the Village Market ATL and what you're doing there? And how can they participate?
Of course. Now, I want you to donate, but you need to come get this black woman, man, magic, and come out July 15th to the Westside Cultural Arts Center. But everything is online, and you can find it at www.thevillagemarketatl.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can donate there. You can buy your tickets there.
Nice.
Because we give 20% of all those ticket sales to those organizations that I just named,
mm-hmm.
and we fundraise during the event as well.
Nice. That's beautiful. What is your definition of cool?
My definition of cool is situations like this, when you wake up in the morning and you have no idea the things that will be brought into your space for the day.
Yeah.
And you do it and you rise into it with such a smile and humility and be able to have easy conversations to me.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Cool
is staying ready and always being ready and being open enough to engage with other folks.
Yeah. Yeah. You are cool, Miss Key.
Thank
you. Excuse me, Dr. Key.
Dr. Key.
Yes, Dr. Key. Well, I'm proud of you. I know your mother is so proud. I know she's like, look at my baby down there doing her thing. I mean, seriously, continue success on everything. And in any way, if I can be of service to you, please. Well, you always call anyway.
Yes, listen, y'all. You need things, you better call people who you know.
Right, yes. Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being a part. Before we go, I know you mentioned your website. How can people find you and follow you, like on your social media handles and stuff?
This is really bad. All my social media is primarily for the Village Market and Young, Gifted, and Black.
Yeah.
But I do have my Facebook page. Come on, be a part. If you're not strange, come on. It's Key Hallman. But the Village Market is the Village Market ATL, and Young Gifted Black is Young Gifted Black _. And both of those are on IG.
Yeah, I follow both, and they're always so inspiring.
Thank you.
I found out about a lot of young people doing great things through your Instagram page. So thank you so much for continuing to share and doing what you do.
Yes. Thank you, Rashawn.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every time I call on Rashawn, she's always, always, always helps me.
Thank you. You're so welcome. That's what I'm here for. Dr. Key Hallman, everybody.
I am Dr. Key Hallman, the founder, the CEO of the Village Market ATL and the nonprofit organization Young, Gifted, and Black. I am the coolest soror of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.